Holy shit. Guys, it's been a while. Notice anything different? Check it out. For those just listening, you're missing out. I got a new set. It's been quite some time since I delivered a new episode, so welcome. If this is your first time watching or listening, welcome to Behind the Counter 2.0, BTC 2.0. This time around for Season 2, I'm adding a variety of content. I'm still going to talk to my favorite creators and personalities within the realm of comics and beyond. And I'm going to add a little bit more and be a little bit more consistent with the releases. That's why I kind of front-loaded Season 2 with a ton of interviews already. All I have to do is edit them and record these intros and outros, guys. I got 6 interviews in the bag so far for Season 2, and I hope you enjoy each and every one of them. I'm also going to be doing more toy stuff and more in-depth comic reviews for past and present books, and maybe some extra videos on this YouTube channel about my collection and my travels as a collector and talking to other collectors, you know, just about the fun we have collecting toys. Definitely going to get my brother on the line, a couple other guys I know who love action figure collecting and can go talk about this stuff for hours. And funny enough, as I record this, I just got the announcement, along with everybody else who pre-ordered the 1989 Batman from Mezco, that it is shipping soon. It's the iconic Michael Keaton portrayal of Batman. Maybe they timed it to release for the Flash movie. Who knows? I'd love to do an unboxing for you guys, so stay tuned for that. And as a matter of fact, I think I might want to do a group unboxing. So if you're listening to this and want in on that, you know, just drop me a line, let me know. You can find me on BTC Rich on Twitter. And, you know, you can always leave a comment on this channel on YouTube, too. Today, my guest is Pat Leica. Pat is a fantastic guy. He's a great artist based in California. I've dug his stuff for years, and we had a blast chatting. Check it out. Hey, guys, welcome to the show. Pat Leica. Pat, how are you?
Good. How are you, Rich?
I am not too bad. Thank you very much for coming on. I've been trying to get you on for a while. I feel like it, and I tried to meet you at Comic-Con, I think. How was your trip to New York?
Oh, it was good, man. I love New York. It's my favorite place. You know, I feel like I'm a New Yorker at heart, even though I live in San Diego. Like, I would rather be there than here, but there's a lot of things going on, so it's preventing me from making the move, basically. But I think in the next couple of years, that may happen.
Oh, that's really cool. You know, it's funny because I was going to say you have the better weather. You know, like, the weather here has been abysmal forever, you know?
I mean, we're having like a string of rainy days out here, and, you know, it's fine. But the thing is, I don't know, like, every time I visit New York, I just feel great when I'm there. I don't care how the weather is. Mm-hmm. It's always good. Like, I feel like that's more my speed. The way people are over there is like more it's my preference. Like, San Diego is kind of a boring town. Like, it's nice and everything is pretty, but like, I feel like nothing happens out of here except during Comic-Con. But yeah, so I'd rather be out east.
That's interesting. You know, I think, do you like the fast pacedness of New York? Because I know it's not for everybody.
Yeah, I know it's not for everybody, but it's really for me. Like, you know, people talk about, like, when they go to certain places or whatever, they just feel alive. That's me when I go to New York. Like the more I touch the ground, I get off the plane, I hit the thing, and I'm just like, I feel that energy already. And like I never feel tired when I'm walking around the city, and I won't even realize that I'm tired until I lie down at the end of the day because I don't have anything else to do. But yeah, I feel like anytime I'm there, I just feel great. It's like you're being enhanced by touching the ground there. You know, it's like all of a sudden, like, oh wow, I didn't realize I already walked 20 miles today, but I feel great. You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, no, I completely understand. I mean, I grew up here and I still feel like that. But, you know, as a native New Yorker, I open armed welcome you if you decide to move here within the next couple of years.
I mean, if everything works out as planned, that's going to happen. So just, I'll let you know. But yeah, it's definitely something I want to do soon. Like, I'll be visiting within the next few months too. Anytime I try to go on vacation, anytime I have anything going on, I try to go up there. It's just, I have a lot of friends out there. Yeah. And I just love being there. Like even if I don't have, you know, like, even if like I take a trip out there and I have no plans, I'm just like, perfectly happy just kind of goofing around the city and just doing whatever, because it just feels good to be there.
Yeah, it's kind of the best. I went to I visited San Diego once for a Comic-Con years ago, and we stood there for quite a while, and I was shocked because I think at that point last call was like 9:30 or like 10 o'clock somewhere, and I was like, what? And they're like, where are you from? I was like, New York. And they're like, yeah, no, you're not gonna get any of that out here.
Yeah, that's something I love about New York. Like, it could be 3 a.m. and there's like something that you could go somewhere and get something, and you could just kind of, you know, be out there and just kind of have, you know, still kind of find something to do. And there's no such thing in San Diego. And you know, it's such a turn off for me about the city. Like, there's nothing to do late at night, and I am usually late at night or early in the morning, and I'm one of those type of people who likes to stay up super late or early mm-hmm. into the morning, or I have terrible sleeping habits too, so it's good to be like in a city where, you know, you decide, you know what, I think I'm gonna go out, and you can just walk wherever. That's another thing I love about New York. You just walk wherever. You don't need to have a car. You just need to know where you're going.
You know, it's funny because I always get shit from my buddies because, like, I'm not a night person at all, and we do live in New York, and I'm always mm-hmm. like, yeah, no, 10, things starts at 10? No, I'm going to bed. But the reason I wanted to bring you on, I've been a fan of yours for a while, especially starting with your photography, with your cosplay photography, which I believe I got into like years and years ago. Can you tell me, and you're a comic guy, you love comics, you love mm-hmm. pro wrestling, you have an awesome shelf behind you. I think that's the Emperor sitting right over your right shoulder.
Yes.
You're Star Wars guy. Awesome. So we're going to have a lot to talk about. Talk to me about the cosplay photography, man. Like, how did you get into it? Your stuff is brilliant. If folks haven't checked your stuff out, like, I'm going to link them at the end of this, and, you know, we'll do like the nice little blurb and all that for you.
Thank you. I really appreciate your kind words about the work. So I started, like, you know, I used to do a lot of like photojournalism for a bunch of websites, you know, like I used to do photos for websites like Comics Alliance, like all those comics news sites from years ago. I used to do coverage for them for like big cons like San Diego, Dragon Con, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I got into, you know, doing the photography, of course. But the thing is, when you see the cosplay, there's a lot of really good stuff. But then you realize that it's always against this weird backdrop, right? So mm-hmm. if you're at Dragon Con, chances are the photos you'll see from Dragon Con are the cosplayers or the characters standing in front of those stairs. You know the stairs. You can see Dragon Con. And then there's also, or crowd shots, that sort of thing. And I got really tired of that. I was really turned off by that because, like, it looks boring. These are fantastic characters, and everything, the settings are so mundane. So I decided that I want to try and change the way I do things. So I have a friend who is also a photographer. His name is Jay Tablante. He's based in the Philippines. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of like the first person I saw who did photo composites, where he would, you know, get the main person, the cosplayer, you put them against, like, you know, like an appropriate background. Like, he would put mm-hmm. them in like the proper setting. Like, he could put say Jean Grey, for example, a photo of Jean Grey, and put her in the danger room mm-hmm. instead of like sitting in front of like, instead of sitting in like some couch or whatever.
Yeah.
So he kind of mentored me, and I learned how he did his work. And after that, I decided, you know what, I'm going to try to slowly pursue this. And then I had like one really bad Dragon Con where I was exhausted. We did this long photo shoot that was about an hour and a half under the mm-hmm. sun.
Oh,
and it was a particularly hot or humid day, and some of the cosplayers in the shoot were like getting sick. Someone, I think someone had a heat stroke or something. One of the photographers had a heat stroke or something.
Oh no!
And I was just like, we can't keep doing things like this,
mm-hmm.
where you're hurting a lot of people. You're hurting tons of people in the one spot under the heat, and then you can't really get any good pictures because you just see, oh look, it's people in front of stairs again.
Right,
so
right.
So I'm gonna do something. Yeah, I'm gonna do something different. I'm gonna start implementing, you know, the editing into my work. And so I think that was 2016 where I started doing it, and I was really happy with how it turned out. Like I started working with a couple of production artists that I know, mm-hmm. and you know, and we would, you know, it would be like a group effort. Like we would shoot like the different elements of the image. Like let's say like I have an Emma Frost piece where she's sitting on the hand of a sentinel. Like I had to do basically get photos of like the sentinel, like a sentinel statue or robot. Then I basically chop it up, and then we would like, you know, just place the basically I would start cutting the parts up, you know, in Photoshop, and then just start placing it around the image. Then I would incorporate, you know, the cosplayer into the shot. Then I would just fix the elements so that it looks like they belong in the same place, so it doesn't look like it's Photoshop. It looks like they're all existing in the same, you know, plane.
Yeah.
I would just blend everything together so that it's a cohesive image and it tells a story. And that became my thing. Like I want my images to tell a story, and that's kind of how I really got into it. And over the course of the last how many years doing this, like the last this is year 7 basically of me doing this,
right?
And I'm constantly trying to find new things, like I just try to make it challenging and try to make it more fun as well. Because I get a lot of people who request particular things from me, like you know, if it's an X-Men shoot, yeah, we're gonna throw some sentinels, some destroyed sentinels in the background because that's what everyone wants. Or you know, but at the same time, I try not to fall for some of the tropes of my own work now, because there's certain things that people expect. Like, well, we need to try and, you know, just kind of change things up. But yeah, I basically got tired of my photos looking like everyone else's. And I feel like since I started doing that, I feel like more and more people start doing the same thing, which is great because we have to see how creative some of these photographers are.
Oh yeah, I feel like
more and more people are you know, seeing that it's much more fun to just kind of, you know, do something and really push the fantasy element of the photography.
Yeah, like your stuff, the first thing that always struck me about your stuff is that it's so seamless, and that I gotta say, if you're the one who's doing the editing, you must be a very dexterous hand, you know, because like I'll send you, I'm a photographer also, that's my full-time gig. I'll send you my link to my work after we're done. I am not a dexterous editor at all.
Well, it takes a lot of time and a lot of practice. Like you got to keep doing it. Right now, I'm kind of on pause. Like right now, I'm slowly picking away the stuff because I recently had a kidney transplant recently, and some of the anti-rejection medication, unfortunately, one of the side effects is tremors, and tremors are pretty bothersome. So it's kind of made it a little difficult for me to do work.
Yeah.
So it took me so much time to do right now. Like, you know, I imagine eventually over time I'm gonna get over that, but right now I feel like I'm relearning everything.
Yeah.
So it's been an interesting time, but it's a lot of fun. Like, I mean, you know what you're doing. It's just like you're getting around like certain things of, you know, about your hand and how your hand works. And it's just a matter of like getting used to whatever, you know, whatever it is you're doing. Like, I've seen some of your toy photography. I think it's pretty fun.
Oh, and I feel
like that's all practical, right? You're like you're doing your lighting and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, everything. Yeah.
That's how you start. That's how you start, really.
Yeah, it's all my stuff is all practical. That's the only, like, that's just the stuff that I like, and that's the stuff I like with, like, and I'm sure you're a Star Wars guy, right? So like, you grew up with right? Like, you have the vision of like these practical things, and even though it's toys, yeah, totally. Like, I, you know, like, I love stuff like that personally. Also, like, you know, congrats on getting a donor and having your kidney transplant, man. Like, I followed your whole thing on Twitter and Instagram, man. I'm glad you're with us.
yeah, I'm glad to. It's I feel like it's been a long journey, but it's worth it. I feel really good. I feel really healthy right now, and you know, right now there's some inconveniences, but there are worse things. So whatever, I'll get over. I'll figure it out eventually. But yeah, man, your stuff is pretty good. I feel like I want to get into more of toy photography, but at the same time, I have such a backlog of my regular photography that I'm like, I can't really mess around with that right now. I don't need another thing that I'm going to get into, you know?
Yeah. It's always tough. I think, like, if you're really into comics and science fiction and all that stuff, like, it's always tough to be like, all right, where, what's the next creative outlet, you know? And I think a good example too is like you host your own podcast. Hang on, I have the note here. I had the name right on top of my head too, like a dum dum. I completely spaced on it.
Yeah, I mean, I do.
Krakoan Exports.
I'm one of the co-hosts of Krakoan Exports. Yes.
Yeah.
I just felt that there's not enough people talking about the current X-Men books, which I'm absolutely in love with.
I agree.
It's so much fun. The conceit of the podcast is it's four of us. Mm. Two of us who have been reading it from the beginning and you know, have never missed a beat. And we have two friends who are not up to date, and we're slowly getting them into it. So it's been a lot of fun to kind of see, you know, these friends kind of get into these new characters, the new status quo, and getting them into the story. Like, we've been using the, Marvel's been putting out those Reign of X, Trials of X trades. Yeah. And I feel like that's like a great way to kind of get them in, because they're getting the books basically in proper reading or release order.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we've been doing that. And of course, we also have guests here and there. Like, we've had writers, artists, we've had editors on the show. So yeah, it's been a fun podcast, and it's fun to kind of, you know, you're chatting about the thing that you're really into, and at the same time, you're getting other people into it. And that's what I love about that whole podcast.
Now, I gotta listen to it, because I'm a huge fan of the and everything that I think House of X was the first one, right? That yes. relaunched everything, the Hickman's House of X. Everything after House of X, I've loved for the most part. There's a couple of things that are like a little missed for me, but that's just my personal taste. I'm a little behind now because of the AXE stuff. And it was just like, at one point it was like, ooh, I have all the books, and it's a lot of books, you know? So I'm like too much behind.
The AXE stuff is really fun to read in one big chunk. So it's a fun crossover. And I feel like it's definitely not for everyone, because, you know, the Eternals are not for everyone.
Yeah, I think so. And it's also, you know, it's not a knock on Gillen's writing. Like, I love Kieran Gillen, but he writes a meaty comic book.
Oh, yeah. That's what I love about his stuff, man. Mm. I mean, it can be daunting for some, and that's perfectly fine. You kind of take the comics, you know, in any way you can, and and everyone digests the story differently, and you know that there's a sequence there, like, that takes place over issue 5 and like two of the tie-in issues, like a Legion of X tie-in, and I think it was what was the other book, and X-Men Red. Like, there's like a thing where like those three things really work together for one of those issues, because like the events kind of take place simultaneously and across different viewpoints, and within like minutes of like one page expanded in another issue. Like, stuff like that's like really high concept, and it's really fun to read, and you just really get an appreciation for writing. But yeah, it can be heavy. That's fine. You can always come back and reread it later on and see, you know, if there's something, you know, that's the thing about comics. You can always come back to it anytime and read it at your own pace. That you control the page, you know, when you read. And that's one of the fun things about comics in general.
Oh, absolutely. And just going back to like stuff that you like, I think one of the things that really drove me nuts in a great way, where it was one of those moments where I was reading it in bed next to my wife while she was reading, and did like a kind of like a holy shit moment, was that one issue where Cap sacrifices himself, but I think it was the end of the next issue where he pops out, you see his fist pop out of the egg, and like, listen, we all know Captain America's not gonna die, but that was such a great moment in that whole story that like I lost it for that stuff. Like, that always does it for me.
Oh yeah, it's and also it's like, It's a great story beat. It's a great moment. At the same time, it also advances things, which is like, oh, they can resurrect humans now too, and that adds a new layer to this, because now that whatever you say about that story in the end, whether you liked it or you didn't, you gotta say it advanced something, because it at least added this whole thing now, this new wrinkle. Hey, they can bring humans back now too, and how is this gonna play out down the line? Like, it adds new intrigue to the whole story. And what will the mutants do now that they know that they can do this? And I thought they answered that too at the end, if you haven't read it yet, I'm not going to spoil it, but yeah, they added something new. And that's why I love, like, if you're going to do a crossover event or just a big story, if you're going to do something like that, you gotta drop something new for everyone else. You can't just take and take and take. You have to add something, and that's what I loved about that. It gave us a new story thing that they could possibly build on. That's one of the fun things about it.
Absolutely, I think also this is the tightest that the X-Men has been in who knows how long.
Oh God, yeah.
Even though I did really like Rosenberg's run before the relaunch, where he kind of started to bring back more 90s style like X-Men, like that core team. But yeah, it's been super tight for the last couple of years. Are the X-Men, are they your guys as far as like the Marvel Universe goes?
Yeah, the X-Men are my guy. I said, like, the cosmic stuff is also my thing. Mm. Like, my favorite characters are Thanos and Emma Frost.
Okay.
And Doom and Magneto. But I have a type, clearly. But those are the most fun characters. Like, they're all very complex.
Mm-hmm.
Did you read, like, I don't know how much of AX you've read, but you've read the Magneto stuff, right?
Oh yeah.
Like the X-Men Red Tie-ins. Oh my God, the Hour of Magneto.
Mm-hmm.
That was incredible, and that was one of the greatest things done with that character. And if I was to think about, like, my favorite comic moment of 2022, it's from that stuff.
Okay, that's so definitely good. Up there.
Yeah.
I think I also think Hickman definitely, he revised the template of what a lot of these characters, how these characters should be written. And I think Magneto is definitely at the top of the list, because since day one with the soft relaunch of the books, like, it's next level, kind of like, okay, so this is where he's going now, What's your favorite? Yeah. Not favorite, I'm sorry. As far as the cosplay photos go, and like your work and the artistic nature of it, what would be your dream photo shoot or dream edit to put out there?
You've seen the cover to Immortal X-Men number one. That Last Supper piece that they did.
Oh, the Mark Brooks cover?
The Mark Brooks cover, yes.
Yeah.
That is my dream shoot right now.
Wow.
I'm actually slowly assembling a cast of characters to do that with, and they're not all from the same place, and that's basically going to be like, I've already shot my Xavier and my Emma Frost for that.
Okay.
I'm slowly building up my, I got someone to be Destiny, for example, and we're going to plan when we're going to shoot that eventually.
Awesome.
I have a Kate Pride. So, like, I'm slowly assembling this one by one, and I guess I'm and I guess I'm going to be Sebastian Shaw for that one. So I'm going to be shooting myself for that one.
Oh, that's cool.
I'm actually like planning a bit. Me and a couple of my friends are planning on doing like a classic old school Hellfire Club for a con next year. I'm going to be Sebastian. So yeah, I'm getting into cosplaying myself next year. This year rather, I'm forgetting that we're already in 2023 sometimes. But yes, I am slowly making my way into recreating that, because my last really big one was the X-Men 1 cover, the Jim Lee one.
Yeah,
that took me 3 years to put together.
Wow.
I started in 2019. I finished it last year, and the hardest ones to do were, like, the hardest one to do is Beast, because no one has a bodysuit good enough for that, so I had to be creative, and I had to use a Marvel Legends Beast figure to do the body, and then I had a buddy do the facial pose, and then I just combined the two things, and I had to, and trying to hide the figure's joints and covering it with fur and whatever, that was a challenge. And then that cover took a lot lot of time and effort, but it turned out really good. I was really happy with how it ended up in the end.
Yeah, the results of that were awesome. I always joke around with my friends because I've never cosplayed, and I think I have the inkling in the back of my head, and I know there's a few characters I could probably pull off. And I always say, like, you know what? I would do Beast, except I would just do it really terrible, like, and look like Tobias from Arrested Development, and just like smushed in gross blue paint and like hair.
Just blew yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And that would be, and put some fangs in, and that would be my Beast. That Immortal X-Men cover, man, if you could pull that off, like, I'm sure you will, like, that's going to be incredible looking, man. And that there's a lot of folks on that cover too. You need a good Sinister though.
It's 11 mm-hmm. characters, and you know, I think they have a Magneto helmet lying around. I could just, you know, use that. It's right behind me over there.
Oh, right on, yeah.
So I just need to Photoshop that into the white version of the helmet, and then I just need to, you know, figure out the rest of the cast. Like, I know a really good Sinister, but he does like the classic version of Sinister, so that may be tougher mm-hmm. to pull off. But you know, just probably paint a beard or whatever to make him look more like current Sinister, who's, you know, a troublemaker. we'll figure it out. But yeah, that's the goal. And then there's mm-hmm. a few things here and there that I like to do. Like, I would like to try and do like it'd be fun to do like a good Gotham shoot. Like, you know, like the Gotham Rogues gallery. That would be fun. Like, that there's so much you could mm-hmm. do with those characters. Like, I would break my one photo shoot rule, which is I do not shoot Jokers. I can't stand the Joker. But I would shoot that character in a group setting like that.
Is it because there's too many Jokers?
Like, I have a list of characters that I do not do because I'm just like kind of over them. Like,
okay,
the Joker is one of them. Uh-huh. Deadpool.
Okay,
Spidey. Like,
if a Spidey
is exceptional,
mm-hmm.
you know, I would do it. I would do it. Like, I would shoot Miles anytime. I would not. I can't shoot a Peter Parker because there's just too many of them.
No more Peters.
And the thing is, a lot of the people who cosplay these characters mm. tend to be very obnoxious, and I'm like,
shocker.
You know, I get really turned off of working with people like that. You know, I'm just you know, but you know, hey, look at that. I never talked about that before. Out loud. But
hey,
yes,
first time for everything.
There's some characters I'm just like, mm-hmm. there is no. I would say there, like, a lot of, sometimes I mean, I got no problem with people who buy costumes. You know, if they didn't make it themselves, it's fine. But I'm just like, there's just too many of these particular mm-hmm. characters. I'm just like, I can't. And if they keep acting like the way they do, I'm like, even less interest from me to do it.
Yeah,
but, you know, I can be convinced if it's exceptional.
Yeah, that's always like a weird thing. Like, you can never know what somebody's attitude is going to be behind like the makeup and the costume and all that stuff, you know. And like, I found out like a long time ago, like a few years ago, like how like I don't want to say nuts, but like how like it's like a lot of cosplay apparently is very much like the Broadway scene, in that it's very much, it's like almost like backstabby a little bit, you know. At least from what people have told me.
There's some truth to that. And I've witnessed a lot of that, and I'm not gonna get into it. But yeah, it's definitely a thing. I mean, it's unfortunate because, like, I think a lot of people, like, you know, the preference is that, you know, you do it for fun. But of course there's money involved in this whole scene, and it's kind of mm-hmm. weird, and it's like, you know, there are people who are just, you know, there are people who are unfortunately shitty, and that you can say about any mm-hmm. any walk of life or any kind of, you know, any kind of fandom or profession. They're always gonna be shitty. I mean we you are on the internet enough and you know this.
There's a lot of shittiness out there. I try to stay away from shittiness and toxicity.
Yeah, exactly. That's the point. Yeah. You try to make it fun. And it's a bummer sometimes when it slips into your feed, you're just like, oh, come on, really?
Yeah, you know, it's sometimes always such a downer. Yeah, it's such a downer when it happens too. I was talking with my buddy today about that, where I was like, I go on Twitter sometimes and I'm like, oh, cool, cool, cool stuff. And then it's just like, terrible take, terrible take, terrible take. Like, why does anybody like anything? And then I shut it off. is that a ramjet on your shelf behind you?
Yeah, I have like a.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm collecting like masterpiece scale Decepticons. Sure, so they're all there. Yeah.
Sorry, but sorry to shelf peep on you.
No. I love. Like my thing right now is like I collect a lot of villains with my figures. Okay. Like I have like a huge group of Cobra, you know, G.I. Joe classified figures. Like
mm-hmm.
I've been building. I would have like four of each version of the troops. Like, you know, I would have like four Bats, four Crimson Guards or whatever. I'm just building, and then like I would have like the only figures just I collect. I collect the heroes to are the X-Men ones because you know, it's the X-Men. But yeah, like I've been collecting like some of my childhood stuff, like Transformers and G.I. Joe. I'm collecting the villains because they're more fun, and you know it's less expensive than buying both sets.
Oh, exactly. Like for the classified stuff, it's tough because like I always pick up most of the Cobra guys. I'm the same way. My buddy's got like we're all like in our 40s, and my buddy had a party at his place for Christmas for like just like all the couples going, you know. And he's like, oh, guys, come to the basement. And all the guys went down there and he's got like the full shelf of classifieds. And like I collect figures and I was still like, yeah, this is awesome. But all my buddies who didn't like Dave, you know, they got kids and everything. They just looked at the shelf and were like, oh, my God, like what's happening? Like, where did these come from? Because they had no idea, you know. And we were like, listen, man, like this stuff has been around for the last few years and they rock. Like he and like I think the one figure that I'm hot on the case for is that Crimson Guard because I can't find it anywhere.
Oh really? Yeah. I mean, if I run into it, I'll let you know. But yeah, I bought six of them because I just love that design and I love that they kept the original design. It looks good in that scale. And I have Zima and Tomax. So yeah, it's great. Like they're doing such a fantastic job with those. I can't wait for my his tank to arrive.
Oh yeah, that's right. The that HasLab man, like they're gonna.
Yeah.
I feel like they're gonna do some really cool stuff soon, sooner than later.
I can't wait for them to do more vehicles. Like that's the one thing that's missing, vehicles. And like I love that they put out that Serpentor with his air chariot, and then that's another vehicle. So I'm like, yeah, keep them coming. You know, slowly but surely.
It would be nuts if the Ultimate HasLab was the aircraft carrier, and it would have to be like,
oh God,
20 feet long.
I mean, the original is already impossible. Like I never had the original as a kid.
No, me neither.
I've seen it a lot at like comic stores recently. Like there's a comic store here. I'm gonna give them a plug. Now or Never Comics in downtown San Diego. They had a flag there recently, and I'm just like, oh my God, I never saw this in person, and it's gigantic, and it's, wow. Can you imagine they did that in the scale of the classifieds? Like, how insane is that going to be?
It would have to be, I think the flag is 7 feet long, 6 or 7 feet long. So it would be at least 20 plus feet long.
Ooh.
To house the figures and like maybe 5 feet high, it would have to. Which is funny.
And like some Sky Strikers.
Oh my God, I would love it if they did a full size Sky Striker. That would be nuts.
Yeah.
Or even the space shuttle. Like I went down a rabbit hole.
Oh God, the Defiant. Yeah. Oh
yeah,
my
the
God.
Defiant.
They did like, the Defiant. That would
that's
be impossible.
The one. It's so nuts, and it would be like the size of a Christmas tree. Yeah,
probably bigger than that, man. If you want to, because I remember like the old playset that came with like, you know, the base that it launches from, and like you could fit so many figures in there, and like imagine that, and like the scale, like it would probably be at the very least 6-7 feet. Oh my God, I don't even know. Like, just thinking about it is blowing my mind.
As big as a person, I fell down because that's the one I didn't care about any of the other playsets when I was a kid. I had a few of them. I didn't have the flag. I didn't have any of the really big ones, but the Defiant was the one I always wanted. Every time I see it at Comic-Con for some dude selling it for like $200, I do a hard pause and I'm like, ooh, should I get it?
It's tempting.
You know, it's always very tempting, but if I came home with that thing, my wife would murder me. With all the other stuff I have laying around the house, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird because sometimes it's weird because when it comes to comics, I'm not big on the nostalgia thing, but when it comes to like toys, I'm like, yeah, give it to me. I would like to do that, especially like the 80s stuff.
Oh yeah.
And like
yeah.
the last couple of years, I think when the pandemic kicked in, I was like, mm-hmm. I got really heavily into like, you know, collecting these, the classified Cobras mm-hmm. and the Decepticon stuff. Like at first I just got like a couple of masterpieces because, you know, I love that character. Like I had Megatron, mm-hmm. I had Soundwave, and I had Shockwave. But then they put out like a new mold for Starscream and like the yeah. Jets. I'm like, oh, I need to get those for masterpiece. And then like then the third party figures started coming out, and they're all like they're show accurate.
Yep.
I need to get those.
I think the
expensive.
Yeah, they're. I forgot the name of the company that put it out, but I know the masterpiece movie accurate Prime, I think, retailed for $550, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And then another company put out pretty much the same exact thing for $125. And that's
There's a lot of companies that do that. And yeah. you know what? I got no shame. I will get it if I could get it at a more affordable price. Like absolutely. I've been eyeing this Predic King that's like a fourth party, not even a third party, it's a fourth party. But the reason I'm eyeing it is because he's oversized so that he'll be in the proper scale as everyone else. Because I've been eyeing it. Like the set of the all five Predacons is like $169 or something. And I'm eyeing it, and like I can't justify it yet. I'll wait. And I'm on leave from work because I've been recovering from the surgery. So I'm like, I can't afford that right now. But I got my eye on you, Predaking.
One day. What is the favorite thing in your collection?
In my which collection? The comics?
In any collection. Let's do comics and let's do like figures and statues. Is it separate?
Comics, like I don't really like I switched to digital like 10 years ago, but I started buying paper comics again with House of X, and I've been buying every X-Men and everything related to the Krakoa stuff. I've been buying in single issues. I buy in digital. I buy the trades and the hardcovers that you can see behind me over there. And that's all I have. So like my favorite thing obviously is like the original House of X and Powers of 10, because I have those and I have the variants, and I never really collected variants before.
Okay.
But I would do it because like there's some really nice art here. Like the only variants really that I don't get are like the, like if you're going to release a House of X variant and then the characters are in like their 90s costumes, I'm like, nah, man, that kind of betrays the whole purpose of this thing.
right. Yeah.
So, I have the first prints of those, and I have an Italian version of House of X number one that's like in black and white.
Oh, cool.
So you can see that. Yeah, I actually have it right by here. I'll show you.
Oh, please. Yeah.
And it's oversized. It's an artist edition, basically. So this.
Oh, awesome.
And yes, it's in Italian, but you get to see the art, you know, in this original black and white form. And it's gorgeous. And it's larger than a standard book. So, yeah, that's I'm a sucker for that kind of thing where you can see like the original black and white art. Like I've been collecting, you know, I do a lot of hardcovers and omnibuses and stuff like that. That's the majority of my collection. For print comics. And as far as toys go, I don't really have that one's tougher, but my favorite, like my Hasselblad Galactus right now is my favorite thing.
Did you open it and display
it? Massive it is. Oh yeah, he's okay. I'm gonna try and see. Okay. my feed might cut out for a second.
Sure.
Give me a second. Where are you? Okay. See, he's down there.
Oh man, that's awesome.
Yeah, and of course there's the Hot Toy stuff, which is, you know, another thing entirely, another expensive hobby, which I've been trying to cut back on.
Oh, forget it, man. Like those Hot Toys are like nuts. Like my wife got me the I turned 40 a couple of years ago, and she had ordered me the Miles Morales Hot Toys one, you know, but it came. It essentially came like 2 months ago. You know, what I mean?
Yeah,
which like it took forever. You know,
yeah, the pre-ordering process on that is very aggravating. But like, I get it. and I get really picky at which ones I get. Like when I first started, I was like buying every Marvel character from the MCU, yeah. But then I realized like I don't really love all of these characters. Like I love some of them, but not all of them. So I got rid of them. Like at one point I had like 60 of them.
Wow.
And I was looking at them like I was looking at them just like, oh, Pat, you need to do something about this.
Yeah.
So I sold or whatever. I sold a bunch of them, and now I'm like, now I have like, now I have like about 20, and I have a bunch of stuff on pre-order. But at least these are all characters I care for, and now I'm not just limiting myself to Marvels. Like you know, I'm picking up some Star Wars ones now too. I'm like I'm allowing myself some Star Wars and some DC ones. And basically, yeah. Like for Star Wars, I just get Sith Lords. Like I have Dooku and I have the Emperor, and then I have a Vader coming up, and I might try to find a Darth Maul. But I don't know. But basically, just getting the Sith Lords because I guess I have the whole thing for villains, and yeah, it's been. Interesting. Like it's dangerous too because now that Marvel has the X-Men rights back, and that when they start doing X-Men movies, Hot Toys just got to do X-Men characters again. So,
oh my god,
that's dangerous.
It's it is, and it's funny because like whoever is making this stuff, we're in the age range. This is for us. Like my brother's 12 years my senior, so it's like I think if you're over 35 and like between 35 and 60. That it's like, hey, you remember this stuff when you were kids. Guess what? All these figures kick so much ass now. Buy them. And then you're like, yeah, I'm an adult. I got adult money. Yeah, I'm gonna buy $400 Falcon. Yeah, give it to me. I think yeah. I got the the one Star Wars one that I'm dying for is the Mandalorian Luke, where he's crushing the droids,
the Death Troopers.
Yeah, he's
not the Death Troopers, but the Dark Troopers.
Yes, the Dark Troopers. Yeah, I'm very excited for that one. It's nuts, man. My local comic shop has all the Star Wars Hot Toys on display. Like as soon as you walk in, and I stare. I walk in there and I'm like, yeah, is anybody buying these? And they're like, yeah, like these are. We go through these very fast. And they're like pretty decently priced too. I think they're like $225, $240. I think I think the Boba Fett one's like $275 or something like that. Yeah. From like the book of Boba Fett. I got a question for you.
Sure.
You're an X-Men guy. You're a cosplay guy. What are the odds in my lifetime that I'm ever going to see an amazing Glob Herman cosplay?
Oh God, that's tough, man. I love Glob Herman. I think he's one of the most fun characters. I don't know if anyone can pull that off. Like, I mean, I could see someone coming up and look like, I don't know, like, I don't think anyone can perfect that costume, but there's a lot of really creative cosplayers out there.
Yeah.
And a lot of really good crafters. I imagine they can come up with something, but there's kind of, but it's definitely not going to look exactly like the Glob Herman we know in the comics, but I feel like someone's going to come up with a very clever way to pull something like that off. It could just be paint for all we know. It could be whatever, but he has a very interesting bot shape as well. Oh God, that's a challenge right there. I'm thinking about it right now. I'm like, if someone does it, I want to shoot it, but that could be tricky, but that'd be so much fun just because of because anyone who decides to do that character has to love that character to put in that kind of work. I could enhance, that costume or whatever, but I feel like you have to have like a very solid foundation to work from first to be able to pull that off. And I don't know how anyone could do that, but that sounds like a challenge. Like I need to put that out there on social media. Anyone want to take up this challenge and build a Glob Herman cosplay?
Oh, yes. Man.
That'll be a fun challenge.
See it. I've been dying for it. Me and my buddy who we're both like the comic book like brotherhood, like we've known each other for like 20 years and we used to work at the same comic store together. He hates going to conventions, and every year I'm like, listen, if I see a Glob Herman, I'll let you know. This is gonna be the year,
Yeah, because I see some really fun, really obscure characters here and there whenever, especially Dragon Con. Mm-hmm. You have to be the most hardcore, and you have like a lot of people are like a lot of people show up there specifically. Mm-hmm. So that they could show you some flex. Like I remember, I went to a G.I. Joe shoot once, and like these two guys showed up. I don't know. You've read the G.I. Joe comics, like all the old Larry Hama stuff,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
Like a couple of guys came up there dressed as Cobra Commander and Destro when they were in disguise, like, you know, Destro with the beard, the sunglasses, the hat.
That's really
like,
cool.
Both of them, like, those are like, oh my God, that is a deep cut. And the fact that someone did that and pulled it off is great. Like, you know, stuff like that's what I'm really into. Like, someone shows up there and like wearing like a costume of like, you know, wearing a character that you rarely see. Like, someone does, I don't know. I can't even think of them right now, but there were so many weird, obscure ones I've seen the last few Dragon Cons I've been to. I'm just like, it's just so impressive. Like, I love that. Like, you know, get in front of my camera. Yeah, I want to make sure someone sees your stuff, because this is, you know, because that's love. Like, you love.
Oh yeah.
You have to love that particular character because it's such a niche character, you know. So yeah, anyone who does that, like, you know, anyone who does D-Man or something, you know.
Ooh, that's the best part about going to conventions, just seeing that like oddball kind of like, you know, like D-Man's a good example. Glob Herman's a good example. Even if Armor, I think, would be another crazy one to try to pull off. I've never seen like an Armor or like the extended, like that extended kind of X-Men family. I feel like those are just like, you know, like, like what's his name? Sugar Man. Like, I've never seen a Sugar Man costume.
That one's going to be tough. That one's also tough. But like, you know, I mean, I think some of the more obscure ones I've seen, like, you know, I've seen people, I saw a really good Spiral recently.
Oh, cool.
Like, you know, you pull off Spiral and like, okay, cool. So you pull off Deathbird. Awesome. Like, that's like, you know, like characters like that, like any deep pull like that, where it's like, not exactly the sexiest character, but at the same time, it's like, you know, it's like, you see that character, like, okay, this one's cred is you know, up there for me, you know, like someone who does characters like that is just like, okay, I'm in. I want to take your photo.
You just gave me like a great idea. Like, I want to manifest a Glob Herman. And I want to manifest a full-blown Starjammers team as far as cosplay.
I mean, you never know, man. Like, like they like today, as we record this, like, you know, Hasbro just announced they're putting out a Corsair figure, and then they're doing like the next Build-A-Figure is Chode. I don't know how to pronounce that name, but like they're slowly putting the Starjammers together. I'm like, oh man. Once these characters become accessible to more people and they see them, they're like, okay, we're going to start seeing these characters pop up in cosplay, because now they have like 3D reference models and action figures coming out. So
And that stuff is always cool. That's like the coolest thing, I think, for me. It's like, you know, just fandom discovering these new things. And like, the Starjammers is one of those things, like, for me, where I'm always like, yo, they're space pirates and they're awesome.
Yeah.
You know? And like, I feel like Starjammers don't get enough love. Mm-hmm. What's your favorite convention?
Oh man, I've gone to San Diego Comic Con for the last like 25 years.
Wow.
Without missing a beat, except for obviously the pandemic years where there wasn't really one. I've gone 25 years, but I always loved Dragon Con the most, just because when I'm there, it's just a party, and I'm always surrounded by a lot of friends. And yeah, it's a toss up between Dragon Con and San Diego Comic Con. I guess it all depends on the mood when I'm there, but yes, it's either San Diego or Dragon Con. Heroes Con is it's up there too. That's another good one. Like, if you want to go to a con and just be talking to creators and have like good FaceTime with creators and just nerd out, that's the one, because it's pretty laid back in a way, and it's not one of the best artist alleys I've ever seen. But when it comes to hanging out, it's Dragon Con and sometimes San Diego. And San Diego is just everything. It's such a sensory overload. You can't, you know, you can't avoid it.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. This year, I want to get out more and travel more to different conventions in different parts of the country, you know, just to have some fun and meet people that, like, you know, at this point, like, just doing the show and being around comics my whole life, like, there's so many people in so many different cities who are like, I'll come to this convention and like hang out, you know, and just like do like the tour, you know, that'd be a lot of fun.
Cons are such a great way to really bond with your fellow nerds, you know, and it's impossible to not have a good time. Like, even like a really, you know, even if it's a small con, if the right people are there, it's gonna be the best time. You know, it doesn't have to be like a big con like San Diego or whatever, but if you just go to the right con with the right people, it'll be the best time ever. You know, you should go there. You got, it's, you know, just kind of roaming around the aisles and looking for stuff together, and just like, you know, looking for a good deal or bin diving or whatever. That's fun. You know, it's good, and you get to be with your buddy, and you're just like, you know, and then you're just gonna give each other shit for your for whatever terrible taste you have in common.
Oh yeah, 100%. I think that's also the best part, just like looking for stuff, hanging out with your friends. Like last year, usually at New York Comic Con, up until the pandemic, I was glued to the Dark Horse booth because I was their New York photographer. You know, it's so, like, I would be just at the booth all day shooting all the signings and all that stuff. So I never really got a chance to hang out, you know. They're not doing conventions, I think, until later this year. So that means I'm kind of off the hook as far as New York goes. So last year, my buddies were like, hey, are you working? I'm like, absolutely not. Like, we're all hanging out. So I essentially just threw beers in my backpack and we were all just roaming around the convention floor, pulling Heinekens from like my giant red Adidas bag the entire time. And like going, it was a good time, you know, like those con moments are with friends are some of the best times if you're like a big old nerd.
Yeah, it's fun. You get to share this really fun moment because comics, most of the time, it's a very solitary thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, most of the time you're reading by yourself, you're reading by yourself. But then you go to a con, you actually have the opportunity to buy stuff alongside your friends. And at the same time, kind of reading through it while you're killing time in the hotel room or whatever. You know, you just like you kind of get to share the moment with reading that comic book. And yeah, I love that. It's what makes those cons worthwhile. Like, you know, yeah, you're really tired at the end, you're exhausted, and you realize that you drained your budget for the whole weekend on day one, but you know what? You're hanging out with your buddies and you got the thing that you've been wanting to get all, you know, for the last how many days. So it's worth it. Yeah.
Yeah. So much fun. All right, Pat, I got a couple more questions and then I'll let you go.
Sure.
This is one I ask all my guests, what is your favorite sandwich?
Oh god, just I am basic as hell. I just give me a good ham sandwich and I'm happy.
You know, I feel a good ham and cheese sometimes, you know. Yeah. That's usually my go-to if I'm like, ooh, I feel like a sandwich.
Yeah, it's easy enough to make. It's not a big hassle. Just give me a really good just a good ham sandwich and you're satisfied. Yeah, that's me. Nothing fancy. Maybe a pastrami sometimes, but yeah.
Awesome, man. All right. So where could everybody find you on social media? Where could people listen to you? Where could people see your work?
Okay. You can just go to patloika.com, which is like a catch-all website of all my stuff. I have a bunch of I have a portfolio page there. Instagram and Twitter is patloika. It's also on Hive. And of course, you can check out the Krakone Exports podcast. It's krakoneexports.libsyn.com, where you can get it from everywhere. You get your podcast, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, everywhere. It's there. I think that should cover everything. Yeah, social media is the best way to reach me. If you like the work, yeah, feel free to check it out and follow along.
And you have a book, too.
Yeah, I have five books, actually. You can look it up on Amazon. Just look up Pat Loika, and you should find there's a Kindle edition and there's like five volumes of this thing called Photo Works, which collects all my work from 2016 till 2021. I'm eventually going to work on volume six and put together like, you know, the stuff I did in 2022 and part of 2021, but it's been a slog so far. But, you know, once I get to the right number of things and once I reach kind of a point where I'm like, okay, I feel like this is a good end point for this next book, I'll probably, you know, work on book six. But yeah, five volumes.
Very cool, man. I'll throw some links down when I post this. And dude, it was so much fun talking to you, man. I hope you had a decent time.
Oh, I enjoyed that. It was fun talking to you. Like, you know, you're welcome to invite me anytime. You just want to talk or you just want to bullshit about whatever you're reading or whatever you're watching.
Thanks again, Pat. When I'm on the West Coast, I will definitely hit you up. Maybe we can get a taco or something. That'd be cool. Coming up in the next few weeks, I chat with Yimbo, reviews everything. He's super deep into the toy sphere. And, you know, we tried to connect for a while doing this interview. We talk a lot about Mezco stuff, which is kind of topical now that Batman's coming out. And I believe they also announced a G.I. Joe Firefly that looks ridiculous and awesome as heck. We talk about collecting
talk about a ton of stuff. That's a fun interview. I talked to DB Andre about the comic book End After End out from Vault. Another great interview. I talked to Mark London, CEO of Mad Cave Studios, just pretty much about like the passion of comic book storytelling and again, collecting and just being a fan and a creator. I talked to the Bloody Samoan, Mikkel Molipola, all the way from New Zealand about art, pro wrestling. In case you guys didn't know, I do a pro wrestling podcast called Matman Podcast. Check that one out too. And I talked to Patrick Reynolds, the artist on Bloodstained Teeth, which is coming to an end very soon, and that's out from Image. That's another great interview. Listen, more to come, guys, and as always, hit that subscribe button. I would love to get to 1,000 subs by July. I know you can make it happen. Spread the word. Listen, I'm going to be doing a lot of more cool stuff for you guys. You can find me on Twitter at BTCRich, and please, again, hit that subscribe button, man. Everything helps. Later, my babies.